For you, your prayerful and careful attention. For I know him, and I know that those things that he has to bring forth to us this afternoon will be pertinent to the welfare of our soul. And so I give you our apostle, Buzz Brickhouse.
Thank you, Hubert. I'm thankful to be here this afternoon. I admit I was a little worried when I saw the schedule and they had me scheduled at 4:30 and there was a pancake supper at 5 o'clock. But I'm thankful that my brother Hubert changed that and it's not till 9 o'clock and so instead of a half hour I have 3 hours and 15 minutes. I'm overjoyed to be here. See all the pews full, your presence and your smiles. I want to send greetings from your brothers and sisters in Africa. They pray for us. They're praying for our conference. They're all waving at you now. Wave back. There you go. And we, of course, were sorry that Brother Moses and Michael weren't able to attend. It would have been a blessing for them to meet you and to fellowship with you and worship with you. I've been blessed this day in the services we've had, not only this day, but this weekend. Thankful that the Lord has heard our prayers and our supplications on behalf of our meetings. You know, I've known for several weeks that I was to preach tonight. So I spent quite some time doing outlines, thoughts. Had some things on my mind that I thought needed to be spoken of. And because I had so much time, you know, things changed. Other scriptures came to my mind. I had other thoughts, and then I would revert back. I guess sometimes you're better off when somebody turns around to you and says, "It's your turn to preach, get up." But I prayed about it, and last night as I was sleeping, I awoke and had some thoughts. And I went out into the kitchen and wrote them on a piece of paper. Went back to bed. Lord inspired on me to me that I better write those thoughts down. And I had been seeking the Lord's direction on what to bring. What message could I bring? I was burdened with the growth of the church and wondering how we could support it. We talked about it in our meetings with our bishops. We talked about it in the meetings with the apostles. We prayed about it in our solemn assembly. And we, in our discussions, talked of the need to teach our people to be more missionary-minded. And the thought that came to me last night while I was sleeping was, I was pondering these things and wondering how we could accomplish those things. One of our brothers, Brother Harris, and then again, Brother Wesley, talked about it during the Solemn Assembly. You know, the base of our resources, financial resources, comes from 500 or 600 people in the States and Canada. And the thought that came to my mind was the bulk of those people were going to be in this room tonight. The people that support in their prayers, in the sacrifice of their time, in their tithes, in their thoughts, are going to be right here. Or if not all of them, but at least just about every congregation in the States is represented. The pastors are here. And we have this opportunity to discuss the things that are the needs of for the growth of the church. And for the fulfillment of bringing forth this glorious gospel throughout the world in these last days. So I'm going to take advantage of that. I want us to think about the things that we do. Think about where we spend our time and our efforts. Think about our own church services at our own congregations, or if we meet in a building or in our home, or if we're a scattered member, how we approach witnessing for Jesus Christ. I want us to think differently than we have thought in the past. I want us to look outside of our own little group, our own little comfort zone, our own little things that are traditions that we have set up, but that we would look outside and reach out and ask God to direct us in our thoughts and our actions and our witnessing. Because I believe there are mighty, mighty things that can be accomplished and will be accomplished. I believe that there are many right here in the Americas that are searching for the truth. We had some witnesses of that through Solemn Assembly. I think it was our brother Randy. Some experiences that he has had, Brother Joel, and experiences at work where they have found little niches of people that wanted to pray. My thoughts were the Book of Mormon mentioning that God has sent the people here to our country. He has sent them. I'm mindful of the many, many immigrants that have come here in the last 30, 40 years. We only think of the early 1900s and the people from Europe coming. But we have some of the largest Spanish-speaking populations in the world here in America. There is not any town or village that doesn't have some Spanish-speaking people in it. We need to reach out to them. We need to reach out to those of the Philippine population here in America and tell them, our brothers and sisters, tell them that they are of their testimonies and their love of Jesus Christ. We have a need to approach the Asian communities and the many different religions, cultures that have come to this country and have been blessed. Have been blessed to live here in the land of the Americas, this land of liberty. And to explain to them the purpose of this land. That it is a choice land above all other lands. Now we're to serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. That by coming here, they fall into that and must be obedient to it. We need to reach out to the many of the African people that live in our country. Many of them born here. Many have been here for hundreds of years. Many have just come. We need to reach out to them and welcome them and make them feel comfortable in our congregations. Some of us have done that. Some of us fear that. Some of us are afraid. But we must recognize that this is what the Lord has called us to do in the last days. Us, the Church of Christ. We have a work here in America. God had a plan for America. God expects America to be a holy country. To be have holy and peculiar people within its boundaries, that he might call the outcast of Israel and bring them here. We're to be an example, and we're to have our arms extended, welcoming them, petitioning them, praying on how we could reach them. My mind went to the need for us to witness and testify in our own home. With our spouses, with our children, with our in-laws, with our children's spouses, with our grandchildren, our aunts and our uncles. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The hope that we have before us and why. To testify to them of the need for the Book of Mormon. Yes, we know. They shudder at times because of the unknowns. We all fear change. We all fear something a little different. But we have a responsibility to talk to them and to teach them not only the basic principles of the gospel, but the need for the Book of Mormon. The clarity that it brings. The correction it brings. The removal of confusion and false doctrines. The light that it brings in this time of darkness. And I want us to think about. I want each one of you to think about how you can approach that person. That person you work with. That person that you love. That person that you grew up with. Your brothers or your sister. The man or person or woman next door, whoever it might be, and allow God to direct you, not to be passive, but to reach out, to extend the hand of fellowship, to invite them into the body of Christ, that they might hear. That they might have the opportunity that they might have the plan of salvation and the gospel of Christ as a witness. That's what we're to do. And I want us to put that into our hearts. I want us to think personally how we can do that. I want us to go back to our congregations. And I want you to think how you could accomplish that. Each one of us. Every one of us that's here. How can those things be accomplished? We know, we believe, we love, we know there's a great work to accomplish. And every one of us here is called to that work. Every one of us. We're to go out and to preach and to testify of the blessing of having a second witness of Jesus Christ in this time when the religions of the world and the scholars are throwing down the truths that are written within the Bible. That no, we have another witness. It is true. Another culture, another part of the world had been visited by Jesus Christ. And he taught the same things. And that Jesus Christ never changes. To look and to provide ourselves opportunities to meet in atmospheres that are conducive to talking about the gospel. You know, there's many, many men in here that travel around the states and go into homes and scattered members, go into some congregations, and they would thoroughly enjoy opportunities to have a chance for a special presentation in a community or in a home, a chance to answer questions to those of your loved ones, a chance to go out and to witness to some of the neighbors that you might have invited over. That's what we're to do. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to open up those opportunities that the missionaries and the ministry might be able to go out. We're to plan for special services because there's a missionary coming. Or special services for your local, for the pastor to be able to teach, to be able to explain the reasons why we believe what we believe in love, in compassion. We're to rise up. We sing a song, "Rise up, O men of God." We're to be accountable. We're to take charge. We're to look out and to be a beacon of light to those in our communities and our loved ones. We have an opportunity here the next several days to make a difference. We have an opportunity in how we handle our business, what things we accomplish, what jobs we volunteer for, how we look at those jobs, how we look for new ways to witness and bring about the words of Jesus Christ and his teaching and the plan of salvation. We have the opportunity not to do things just the same old way, because that's the only way we've done it. That doesn't mean those ways are bad. Maybe that's how we should do them. But we shouldn't limit ourselves to that. We have that opportunity in volunteering and participating on the various committees. We have that opportunity by attending the Sunday School Association and bringing forth positive ideas and participating and committing to participate in their activities. We have that by being on the library board. How can the library board do that? No. What's wrong with you, Brother Brickhouse? I don't know. But I happen to think that there's an outreach there. And I hope that they look at that. The AVVAA committee. The advocate. The reporter. the kitchen committee. That's an outreach. I don't know about you, but I'm touched every time I go through that line. But think about it. Is an opportunity maybe to get a spouse to help, or a son-in-law, or daughter-in-law, or whatever it might be, or whoever it might be. There's the Board of Publications. Look out. How can the Board of Publications reach out to the world and look? And then, you know, we all have that responsibility to support them. To support them in their honest, true desire to serve our Heavenly Father. The United Women's group is meeting. And, you know, look of a way to reach out. Look of a way that you as a group of women can reach out to those. And I know you do it. You know, it's an opportune time to you invite friends to this luncheon here. And they can come and fellowship in an atmosphere of love. But I know that there's other ways. Reach out. Look at the how you respond when a missionary might come, or you have a special event within your local, that you take full advantage of those things. I ask that we look within ourselves and we prepare ourselves to be used. We look and measure ourselves up to the standard and raise that bar that Randy talked about. Ask the Lord to bless us with faith and courage that's been mentioned, that we might feel comfortable in testifying to others and reaching out. We need to know we are in tune with the workings of the Holy Spirit and God's direction in all things. In the third book of Alma, chapter 3 of Alma, Alma is talking and he's saying, and that's on page 314 and the 27th verse. And now I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? We need to ask ourselves that question. Have you received His image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in a redemption of Him who created? Do you look forward with an eye of faith? Or are you satisfied being in neutral? Have you allowed yourself to be neutral and passive? Do you still feel that same excitement that you felt the day that you were baptized? Do you cherish the opportunities to testify to others of Jesus Christ? We need to look within ourselves. We need to search within ourselves to make sure that we are sufficiently humble, as it says in the 48th verse. That we have reached the depths of humility and acknowledge God's greatness and His overwhelming power and love for us. And that we're ready to be used as His vessels. That we've cleansed ourselves from our weaknesses. That we've set aside those things that drag us down and take our time. But that we're focused on the task at hand. Our personal righteousness. Have we lived up to our own expectations? Are we living up and being obedient to the commandments of God? Are we ready to present ourselves in His service that He can mold us and direct us in the way that we need to be to be His children, that we might be used in this great work, this great missionary outreach. Have you walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Have you been sufficiently humble? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem His people from their sins. Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you are not, you are not prepared to meet God. Do we remember that our purpose here on earth is to prepare ourselves to stand before God to be judged according to our works? Or are we procrastinating? Are we waiting for another day? We're to prepare ourselves. Look within your life. Look around the things that you've given importance in your life. Are they encumbering you of working and serving Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to stand before Him? Do you look forward to that with an eye of faith? Are you ready? Each one of us. I have to look that for myself. You have to look that for yourselves. But to know that God is extending His arms of mercy to us and asked us to come. We're to remember and be instilled that we're to bring hope to the nations of the world. We're to be a light on the top of the hill. We're to let our light shine in this, in a culture that we live in of darkness and confusion and abominations and iniquities. We're to bring hope. We're to present the Scriptures as they're written, preserved for us, so that those out there in the darkness would have a choice. That they would know. Remembering that the time is short. We've been admonished that this day. I think we all believe that. We know that that time is short. I was going to read from the 24th chapter of Matthew and talk about that. And the things that were to occur in the last days. But I'm going to ask you to read. You know, it says the gospel of the kingdom, this gospel, the one that you and I love, is to be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It's an awesome responsibility. Someone mentioned the other day, and we may be close, it might be here. We talked about it last night. We might be at the time in the generations of man where the sun never sets on the Church of Christ. Think about it, where we are in the world. That's a wonderful time, but with it comes a responsibility. A responsibility, and we, the people of the Church of Christ in the Americas, are called to be the nursing mothers and the nursing fathers. We're to give of our time and of our talents and of our love to support this work. That's why God has called us. That's why we're here. That's why we're assembled today. I know, that's why you've come. But I want us to look at our activities and our thoughts. And in our, if we're a minister, in our ministry. And if we're a pastor, in our pastoring. And if we're head of a committee, in our committing. Doesn't sound right. But I want us to look and make sure that we are allowing the fullness of God's blessing to work among. I'm not being critical. I hope I am not critical to anything that is being done. But I want us to look with a new light, with a new enthusiasm, or continued enthusiasm, increased enthusiasm, as to how we can bring about and how we can support this great work in the world. I want us to go back to our congregations and teach the blessings that are coming from giving tithing. I want every pastor that's here to go back to their congregation and preach the principle of tithing and the blessings that you are to receive from God. God knows their needs. God knows their resources. But He has promised a blessing. Say, so He'll open up the windows of heaven if we'll give of our tithe. We need to teach that to our children. We need to teach that in our Sunday school. We need to teach that from our pulpits. We need to teach that in our families. We need to teach and testify of God's blessings when we've done it. Because it'll open up the window of heaven. And you, there are many of you have mighty witness to that. And how God has worked with you when you have made that commitment. I had a brother 5 or 6 years ago, a brother I love, explained to me that he had trouble teaching that principle. And I asked him why. And he said, well, he had an experience right in his own family. It was his daughter and son-in-law. They didn't have enough money. They didn't have money to buy milk. And I said, but that's not what God said. God told that He would bless them if they would give the 10% that belongs to God. And I said, you are withholding that blessing from them by not teaching that principle. We need to teach it. We need to look, each one of us. And are we giving our 10%? You know, we have some different beliefs. But the Scriptures teach 10% of our increase is God's. Should go to God and His work. Goes to the, you know, here in the Church of Christ, it goes to the general church for the missionary outreaches of the church. It's to be used as the servants of God. The needs of the people are met, and the servants of God might go forth and preach and teach. The offerings and the gifts are, you know, for administrative things in our locals, or they're helping our families. But our time is to go to the general church for the use of the ministry and for aid for those that are in need, that this work might go forth. I'm imploring you, if there is any of you within the sound of my voice that aren't paying your tithes, I ask you to ask God to direct you. He will provide the way. He will make it possible. And He will open up the windows of heaven. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I look out and I know that within the room here is the resources of the Church of Christ. But I want us to teach that. I want Sunday school teachers. I want you to teach it as a principle from this age on up, that it's instilled in them. That they have received the blessings of God. And nobody can convince them of any other thing or where else it came through, except for the fact that they were obedient. Tithing, a principle, a teaching, a law with a blessing attached to it. We need to teach it. We look in the world, I look in the world today, and I see that the time is ripe. We're in the last days. I want to read some scriptures to remind us of the responsibility we have and what's happening, and I'm going to first turn to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Talking of an ensign, talking of the Church of Christ. Talking of a need that we have to reach out. Similar scripture is written in 2 Nephi. I think it's a quote from that. 9th chapter, verses 125 to 127. Well, I'm going to go over to Isaiah in the 52nd chapter. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publish peace. That bringeth good tidings, that publish salvation, and say unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people and hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. We're to lift up the voice of the Lord. The scriptures, his word, lift them up and to preach and to teach them with an eye of faith, with courage, that God would give us the very words to say. That we pray that he'd put it into the hearts of children of men. That's our responsibility, to witness and testify of Jesus Christ. Not to force somebody. Not to enslave them into it, but to do it in love and compassion. That they would know of the great plan of salvation and the need for them to repent of their sins. To come and be baptized. To go down into the waters of baptism and have for the remission of sins, that they would be removed and that they would be pure and that they would be ready to see receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that they could talk with a new tongue and they would be taught the truthfulness and have that same desire and be born again just as we were. And of those within the sound of my voice that haven't made that commitment yet, I implore you to search the scriptures, to ask God for direction, that you would be able to understand the Holy Scriptures, that you would study the Bible, that you would study the Book of Mormon and the teachings, and ask God if these things are not true, and to be obedient to the commandments, and come, repent, give of your life. Go down into the waters and be baptized. For God extends his arm of mercy to you. And he says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be obedient to the call. No longer fight it, but ask God himself if these things aren't true. Read the scriptures and ask God if they're not true. And have him ask him to give you insight and direction in your life. We're to be a holy people, that light to the world, that ensign. We're to be the watchman, or we're to lift up the voice and preach of Jesus Christ, and be assured that he is with us, and be not ashamed, but to stand firm. We know that in this day and the time that we live, there will be those that fight against us. That fight against Zion. That fight against good. That fight against the very principles of the gospel. We're to recognize it. We're to recognize that in the day and the time that we're living, that we see an alignment. And that the Holy Scriptures testify there will be two churches. One will be the Church of Christ, and the others will be that great and abominable church. Those that fight against Zion, those that fight against the Church of Christ, those that fight against the beliefs and the practices and the ordinances, those that have turned a hardness of their heart against the Book of Mormon. There's an alignment, and we must be aware of it. For we have a story. We have a story to tell the nations, as the song goes. We have a hope. We have a clarity given by the inspiration of God Almighty, as He had holy brothers of old write the things down and provided two witnesses for it. In these the last days. We should not lose track of our responsibility. Recognize the alignment. There's a great thing going on in the earth among the religions of the world. Some of them aren't Christian. They're enemies of the Church of Christ. Some of them profess to they believe in Christ. They're Christians. But they teach a different doctrine. They have different beliefs. They pervert the scriptures. They don't understand them. There are false doctrines that have come up and are encumbering the work of the gospel in this the last days. The Pentecostalism, the doctrine of the rapture, the evangelical movement that abounds, the New Age thoughts that has creeped into the religions of the world. They're different than what's taught in the scriptures. And we're to be the ensign to teach against those things. We're to recognize that we're at war and there's an enemy. And we're to do it in love and compassion. We're to present things, not to be in contention, but in love, to give them an opportunity to hear. You know all that. Because Satan has deceived. He deceives each of us to some extent. And that's why we have to be concerned about our own personal righteousness and our own relationship with our Heavenly Father. But He deceives, and through these doctrines that are given to those with itching ears and want to know everything is all right, He's going to lull them into secure, a false security. We take the doctrine of the rapture. Everybody wants to believe that the righteous are going to be taken. And won't have to go through trials and tribulations. The scriptures don't testify of those things. They teach that we're going to have to endure. That we're going to have trials and tribulations. And the Lord is going to give us strength to overcome those things. But there are those that fight against that, that teach a different, pleasing God doctrine. A doctrine of men, a doctrine that lends to an easiness of the way. The song, it's not an easy way. It's not that. God never said it was going to be easy. But He said He was faithful and He wouldn't forsake His people. And we need to be able to express that to our loved ones and those around us. We need to in that alignment of the two churches, we need to hear, to be able to ensure that they hear the stance of the Church of Christ. That they know that we must endure, that we're going to have to live through the trials and tribulations, but the righteous will prevail. That God has prepared a place and will prepare a place and a time when He will call forth and gather His people from the four corners of the earth and gather them into a place of refuge. Yea, even a place called Zion. Are we looking forward to that? Are we teaching that within our own homes? Are we teaching that in our congregations? Are we bringing forth that hope and the need to be obedient to God's commandment that we might be numbered among the righteous? That when that call goes forth, we will come and we'll be allowed in. A place of the presence of our Father. a place of refuge. Our needs will be provided. We'll be protected from the things of the world and the turmoil and the tribulation and the wars and the destruction. Do we look forward to that? We need to, because that's a place that's promised in the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is full of the things of Zion, a new Jerusalem, and a place of refuge. The Book of Mormon testifies and gives an explanation of where that what's to be accomplished, how it's to be accomplished, and where those things will happen. It talks about two places of refuge, Jerusalem and Zion. That there would be a new Jerusalem built upon this land. Are we teaching that? Are we aligning that? Or are we letting the world churches of the day dictate the doctrines of the Christians? Have we stepped forth and been that ensign and that light that teaches the hope that we have in Zion? It's a reality. It's going to happen. It'll be caused by the gathering of the saints when God goes out to gather them and bring them in. It'll be a condition of peace and love for the righteous. We have to make sure that we're among the righteous. We have to have a need to preach that, teach that, talk about that, and bring that hope forth to all those in the world that have now heard a different doctrine. A doctrine that's crept into every church in the world. A doctrine that's taking over. A doctrine that's been taught for 100 years in the absence of a visual, vocal voice teaching the things of the gospel of Christ and the hope and of salvation in the place of refuge of Zion. The duty of the Church of Christ. Are we ready? Are we partakers of? Do we believe? You know, we have in our statements of belief, statements of belief. It says in the 22nd paragraph in the Articles of Faith and Practice. It says, we believe in the little literal gathering of Israel and the restoration of the 10 lost tribes. Do you believe that? Do you know what that entails? Do you know who that affects? Do you know how we're brought in and become part of that and are adopted into the family? Do you have the hope of that future gathering? We should have. We need to have. The 24th says, we believe that a new Jerusalem shall be built upon this land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, which city shall be built beginning at the temple. The very place that we are at. The latter-day revelations has pointed out. A city to begin here. A gathering to begin here and a growth of Zion throughout the world. Responsibility. We have that particular responsibility being the stewards of this spot of ground. The 23rd paragraph says, we believe a temple will be built in this generation in Independence, Missouri, wherein Christ will receive himself and endow his servants, whom he chooses with power to preach the gospel in all the world to every kindred, nation, and people, that the promises of God to Israel will be fulfilled. This generation, some of us have differences of opinion on what that's in. I'm going to give you mine. When I read that revelation, it's talking about when the Lord calls out and gathers, in that generation, that will be built. I might be wrong. I have to keep an open mind. I have to keep an open mind. But I don't doubt that it's to happen. Because the Lord has said it. It's going to happen. And we all need to ask God for direction and understanding in those things, that we could express it to those of our loved ones and those about us, and they might know of our hope in Zion. Our hope in that new Jerusalem upon this land. And we prepare ourselves to be among that. That we would align ourselves against the great abominable church. The horror of the earth that teaches false doctrines, that teaches for money, for priestcrafts, for the lust and the desires of men. We're to have no part of that. We're to recognize that. We're to separate. We're to love. We're to know and hold out the hand of fellowship. We're to invite. But we're to know that there's a difference. We're not to forget. Even among the ex-restoration people in this country, in the world, they're aligning themselves with that great abominable church, that great organization. The founder is the devil. They have perverted the teachings and the doctrines of God. They've begun to allow themselves to believe in a changeable God. They have perverted the structure of His church and the very ordinances of it, and have a different religion. They've separated. They have chosen to take that step. We have to be aware. And we have to continue to work among them and to bring forth the things that are true in the gospel. But we're to recognize. We're to recognize the day and the time and the alignment that is taking place. We've got a story to tell. And we need to tell it. Nobody else is going to tell it. And we're looking at here a few of the humble followers of Christ. We're looking in this congregation or in our families or in our congregations back home that we represent, those that are the base of the economic resource of the main missionary efforts of the church come from the Americas. And we support those of our brothers in foreign lands. And we must not forget of the need to remember them in our prayers and to be more missionary-minded in our own communities. There is a work to be done in America. There's a work among the house of Israel. And wherever they are, not only in the native people, but in all that the Lord has brought to this country, we're to search them out and give them an opportunity to make a choice and to hear. Are we ready? Are we accomplishing those things? I'm going to read from First Nephi, 7th chapter. Verse 22, wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare His arm in the eyes of all nations, in bringing about His covenants and His gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. Wherefore He will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their first inheritance, and they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. They're going to be taught. They're going to see, they're going to hear and accept. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And the blood of that great and abominable church was the whore of all the earth shall turn upon their own heads. And they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. And they shall fall into the pit which they digged to ensnare the people of the land. And all which fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And that great whore which hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church shall tumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. For behold, saith the prophet, that the time cometh speedily, that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. We're to make sure that we have been sufficiently humble and aren't partaking and haven't been deceived. That God can mold us and direct us. Verse 34 says, for the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power. Even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. A promise of God. For those of us that believe and are obedient and are numbered among the righteous, if need be, he will destroy our enemies. Wherefore the righteous need not fear. For thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come. Yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And as must needs be upon the face of this earth. And it cometh unto men according to their flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. Again, the promise upon the righteous. The righteous shall not perish. I just lost myself. For the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people unto the fulfilling of all the words of Moses which he spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all they which do not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness, and the righteous need not fear, for it is they which shall not be confounded. But it is the kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men, which kingdom is established among them which are in the flesh. For the time speedily shall come that all churches which are built up to get gain, and all they which are built up to get power over the flesh, and all they which are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and they which seek the lust of the flesh and the things of the world to do all manner of an iniquity. Yea, and fine, all they which belong to the kingdom of the devil, it is they which need to fear and tremble and quake. It is they which must be brought low in the dust. It is they which must be consumed as stubble. It is according to the word of the prophet. And the times come speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan shall have no power. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the span of many years. Because of the righteousness of his people. Again, we must look within ourselves. We must build up our own personal righteousness. We must humbly come and ask the Lord to direct us, to correct us, to admonish us. We're to step forth in faith and courage. We're to reach out to those around us in the nations of the world that live right within our own community, in our own nation. We're to be the nursing mothers and the nursing fathers. We're to be an ensign, an example. We're to go down into the depths of humility and ask God to rise us up and lift us up and direct us in our life, in our ministry, in our outreach, in the very dealings within our own home and our families and our loved ones. For God has promised the righteous need not fear. We're to make sure, not procrastinate. We're to make a difference, and we have that opportunity right now. We have that opportunity tomorrow in our meeting. We have that opportunity when we go home to our locals and our families. When we go back in the weekend or whatever it is to our workplaces or to our schools. We're to make that difference. We're to let people know by our love for them that we're of the righteous. That we're members of the Church of Christ. That we have a hope to extend to them. That we believe in a God that never changes. That we believe in the Holy Scriptures and the teaching and the plan of salvation. And that we have a need to be obedient to the commandments of God. We're to let that show in our life, in our very countenances. And the souls of those of our loved ones, of those of our companions, of those of our neighbors in this nation and the world depends upon us. Stand up. Rise up, O people of God. We've got a story to tell to the nation. May God bless us in our efforts. May you remember these words. May you pray about them. May you ask God to direct you in all your thoughts, in your actions, in your relationship. If you remember each other in our prayers. Remember me in your prayers. That God might forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. And we need to remember each one of ourselves. That we're numbered. That we are numbered among the righteous and have that hope of Zion. That we have removed the shackles of Satan and thrown them off and become a new person in Jesus Christ. And if we have allowed ourselves to fall into error since we've been baptized, that we will rise up. Have faith. Have courage. Know that God has promised to bless those that love Him. And we love Him and show our love towards Him by keeping His commandments. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Brickhouse. I gave you as much time as I could. I said 9 o'clock. You didn't take it all. I have an announcement here for the youth. 12 and up are invited to attend to the youth prom. It will be held at the East Local from 12:30 to 6 p.m. Monday, the 4th of April. There will be a study and business concerning the youth, followed by pizza dinner. I know you won't like that.